happy 2019. The first week of 2019, I was like dead on the couch with pneumonia. Has anyone ever had pneumonia here? Okay. Oh my gosh, really? Like when you were a little baby or recently? Okay, little.
2 summers ago.
I thought you could only get pneumonia as a baby or like a 90-year-old person, but you can get it like middle of your life. So I had it. So to me, this is like the beginning of the year, because that was like basically a week in my life that just didn't exist. I literally laid on the couch, you guys. For a week. Okay, you say lucky, but it's actually so boring. And it was like sunny outside, so I was just feeling like I'm missing out on life. It was really sad. But it was good. And I'll talk about it a little bit later. But with that, when I think about New Year's, for me, a practice that I started doing a couple years ago that honestly I haven't done that great, but I'm wanting to, every year I try to do it, is I pick a word for the year. So like one word that's going to be like my prayer, my inspiration throughout the year. And for me, I remember my word last year, but I pretty much forgot about it in like March. Has anyone ever done that before where they picked a word for the year? Has anyone, raise your hand if you have. Okay. Oh, okay, Trevor has. Oh, you guys have. Okay, what's your word, Trevor? Do you know yet?
I'm
still deciding? Yes. Okay. All right, what about, did you raise your hand, Ella? What have you picked before? Kindness? That's a great word. Okay, Jordan?
Trump. That would make good decisions. Wow.
Okay, so pray for our president. That's good. Okay, so for me, this year, my word is trust. Because for me, I feel like I've been a Christian now for a while, and I know a lot about God, and I know a lot about Jesus, but I don't know if I truly trust the things that I know about him. And I realized that a lot of my insecurities that came up this year was because I had a lot of lack of trust. Not trusting that God really loved me, not trusting that God really has a plan for me, all of those things. And so I really want to dive deeper in the truths I already know to trust them more. So that's kind of what my year is about. And I read this passage, this story about Jesus that we're going to talk about today, kind of in the midst of me realizing this, that trust is something I struggle with. And so it really stuck out to me. And it's a story that a lot of you may have already heard before, but we're going to read it just with fresh eyes. What I love about Jesus stories is they speak for themselves. Like, I'm just going to tell you the story. And I want us to, like, imagine it, get lost in it, enjoy the fact that Jesus was actually a man that walked on the earth, that has, like lived a life that we can actually imagine it and understand and love getting to know the story more and more. So that's why I just want to tell you the story and have kind of God's word and the story of Jesus speak to you. And then I've got a few takeaways for you with that. Okay, so we're going to read a story out of Mark. Mark is kind of my favorite gospel right now because it's short and it's really to the point. And I think you could pick it up any day and get some great nuggets. So if you're like at a time in your life where you want to read the Bible more, but you don't know where to go, Mark is a great book to read. If you want to start a book like right now, you're like, I want to read the Bible every day. I'm going to read a couple pages each day. Mark is a great place to start if that's something you want to do. Okay, so we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4. And before I start, I'm going to pray. Okay, let me pray. God, thanks so much for your word. Thank you for all the things that you've done. I pray that you would just speak to us today, speak to me, speak through me, God, and just allow us to walk out of here a little different than when we walked in, knowing you a little bit better and trusting you a little bit more. So it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so, just looking at the time. Mark 4, we're going to start in verse 1 and 2, the very beginning of chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it and on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, ... So I just want to kind of give us a visual of like what Jesus's day was before we get to the actual story that we're going to talk about. So what would happen would be there's too many people for Jesus to talk to. So what he would do is he almost like created an amphitheater. He would put the boat right here and it's like you guys were all on the shore. And I imagine there being a mountain like this. This is like almost exactly how I imagine it. And it kind of go up around the mountain. It's almost like an amphitheater that's caused. And Jesus is teaching to them. Yeah, Jordan?
I doubt Jesus dressed that well. Like,
yeah, it's true. You know what? That's a really good point. And I bet his boat, I imagine his boat too being a little bit bigger because there's more people in it and there would probably be more stuff. And it probably wouldn't be that green either. But kind of just that visual, that's a good point. But kind of just the visual of him teaching from the boat, from the water, that's kind of the feel it would be. And so if you kind of flip through, you can kind of see, like, Jesus talks about the seeds. If you throw seeds out on the different kinds of ground, what happens to it? He's teaching them that. He teaches them about a lamp on a stand, not to cover it. He talks about how seeds grow. He talks about how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And he's teaching all of these things all day. And he's probably still in between breaks. He's probably healing people. Like, it's a long day. And I think just to, like, remember that Jesus was fully human. Like, he was fully God, but he was also fully human. He had to sleep. He had to poop. He had to eat. He laughed. He did all things that humans do. And so if you think about a full day, like, he is the most sought-after man. Everyone wants a piece of him. He can't even probably sleep well with rest because people are always trying to get at him and everything. So he's probably tired too. Just as a man, he's probably tired. All right, now we're going to turn to verse 35. All right. So I'm going to kind of like read a couple verses, stop, read a verse, stop, and then we'll kind of go on from there. All right, so then, verse 35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. So what happens? Jesus decides, okay, day's over. We're going to go take the boat to the other side now. And I don't know why. Part of me wonders if, like, he just needed to get away from all those people, because if he tried to rest there, he wouldn't be able to. So he's like, we just need to get away. Or maybe he was going somewhere else because he was supposed to do something else on the other side of the shore. But either way, he's needing to go. So I want you to kind of imagine that. They're all getting in the boat. They're going to go take the trip to the other side of the shore. I'm not sure how long it will take. Maybe it'll take all night. I don't know. I'm imagining it's kind of like nighttime or like late afternoon. And there's other boats too. There are other disciples that are going to go with him. Okay, so do you guys kind of have that visual? Like they're all going on the boat across the river. Okay. Then verse 37. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. All right, so we're now going to see an actual clip of this exact moment. They got it on film. It's crazy. The boat looks a little bigger there.
Skip, we're going to make
it. It's just optical illusion.
Let us out.
was good timing. He was about to just cuss. The disciples, they had foul mouth. I'm just saying. Okay, is that crazy that they got that on film? Do you guys know what that's from?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely had cameras back
then. Is that movieclips.com? Yeah, movie clips. Movies from the beginning of time. Yeah. No, it's from the movie The Perfect Storm. Have you guys ever seen The Perfect Storm? No, actually, it was. Yeah, it was Mark Wahlberg. Okay, yeah, he was a disciple. Did you know that? Okay, no, but can you imagine how terrifying that would be if you were in a boat like that in the middle of the ocean and you saw a wave like that coming at you?
I just say, guess I'll die.
Oh my gosh, that gives me like tingly feet, like a little bit sweaty feet. Whenever I get nervous, I get sweaty feet. Is that weird?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I want you to imagine, I mean, the Bible only gives us a sentence, and it just says a squall came up, and it seemed like the boat was going to sink. And so, but other translations, the way that I interpret that is it's a storm. All of a sudden, a storm comes up, and they think that the boat is going to sink. And I actually love watching a video like that because you kind of see in their faces, you see their emotions when they look out the window and they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so I want us to try to get in the head and like the mind and the emotions of what the disciples may have been feeling. So just like, let's try to get in their minds for a second. I want to list through, I want to like kind of have you guys come up with some things. What emotions might the disciples have been feeling in that moment?
Fear.
Fear. Totally. Wow, that's really small. Hey, if I do this green, tell me if you can see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see it? I have really great handwriting, so. Okay, fear, what else?
Untrustworthy.
Like that. You were listening with, like, the trust thing. Okay. Untrustworthy. So explain that a little bit more. Kind of like feeling like they don't trust. What do they feel untrustworthy about? Yeah, don't feel safe. Yeah, it's great. What else? Any other emotions you can imagine?
Terrified.
Terrified, totally. What do you think that they were afraid of? Like fear. Fear of, yeah.
They were scared of the storm. Like it could, anything could happen.
Yeah. So of the unknown. So of storm, of unknown. It's good. Because they don't know, are we going to survive? Yeah, yeah.
Fear of dying.
Exactly. That's what I would be afraid of. Did you have your hand up? Mad. Yeah. Because it was like, why did you take us out here kind of thing? Yeah. Don't give it away yet. Okay, so, but I will write mad. Because, you know, you've never heard the story. Okay. All right, we're going to go back to these emotions and maybe even add to them a little bit more. Okay, so the disciples, they're on the boat. It's like, all of a sudden, a storm comes up. They think they're going to die. They think it might sink. And then we're going to go to verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Sleeping. Sleeping. That storm is happening. Maybe. I don't know. And Jesus is sleeping. Either way, the disciples are terrified for their life, and they look for Jesus, and he's sleeping. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So here's really like the whole thing that I want to sit in is this line. So here's what I'm going to read it one more time. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" All right. I feel like we just got a little bit more emotion of what they might be feeling. So they go in and they are like, "Why isn't Jesus helping us?" And that's what they say. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" What do you think other emotions?
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
If the water's, like, coming in, wouldn't Jesus, like, get wet? Like,
yeah, but like, he must have been really tired. Yeah. No, exactly. I think that's, I think what, actually, you're tapping into something really interesting, because they were probably confused. Yeah. Because they're probably screaming, like, there's, like, deep violin music in the background. Just kidding. That's just a, but the, like, the noise, the water that would be splashing in, and how could he be sleeping? Is he really that tired? So I actually think confused is a word that they might have been feeling, like, how are you still asleep? So I'm going to write that. All right, what other emotions now do you think they could be feeling?
Anxious.
Anxious about out? Yeah, anxious. It's good.
Alone or, like, helpless?
Oh, my gosh, alone. Because they're like, is Jesus our, because he was not helping them? Is that kind of what? Yeah, alone. I like that. That's good. Does someone else? Yeah.
Frantic,
yeah. What's like, frantic because they just, there's no outcome, so you think they're just like running around, or?
Yeah, they're like, Jesus, why aren't you helping us?
Yes, yes, I love that, frantic.
And like one of the disciples running around in a circle.
Yeah, exactly. Which one do you think would be doing that?
Probably Luke.
Isn't that so fun to think of all the disciples? Like all the disciples that we read about, what they were probably doing here? Like, Peter might have been, like, quoting, trying to, like, quote something that Jesus said to calm everyone, but they're probably like, shut up, Peter! And they're all trying to figure it out. And here they do. They go and look, and Jesus is asleep. And they ask, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Any other emotions you want to add to our list? Yeah.
Okay, almost, for lack of a better word,
betrayed. Betrayed, yeah. Because, maybe unpack that a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. What I think is so interesting, and I love that Cam brought that up, is because, so if you think about it, they've only been with Jesus for a short amount of time. And Jesus is claiming big things, like claiming that he's God. He's teaching like he's God. He's saying the kingdom of God is here. And so they're kind of still trying to figure out, like, is this true? I think. And so they might have been like, Jesus says he teaches things about God being love. He teaches these things, but does he really love us? Like, is this really God? They probably questioned everything. So I think that's a great way to see it, is like, wait, but you said this, but or I thought you cared, but now it looks like you don't care, right?
So like doubt.
Yeah, doubt. I think that's great. That goes hand in hand with it too. So all of a sudden, almost like doubting God. Okay, let's keep going. All right, but Jesus just get up, so that's good. All right. I think there might be, maybe it's just a blank slide. Okay, so verse 39. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So it literally went from, wait, go back one. It literally went from like, things flying over. I mean, this isn't a great analogy because you can see the dock and stuff, but just imagine the feeling of like complete unrest. It's all coming in. It's all going to just come over the boat to the next slide. All of a sudden, just still, like calm. That's amazing.
Master video editor.
Right? That's me. That's Jesus. Exactly. All right. I'm sorry. I'm like just slightly out of swords here with these, so I'm gonna, oh, they're double-sided. I'm like, I missed the page, but it's because it's on the other side. Okay, so let's keep going. The wind died down and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Okay, so I think this is a really interesting reaction that Jesus has. First, he doesn't say anything. He just gets up. He listens to his disciples. He gets up. And what does he do? He just says, quiet, be still. And everything is stopped. The storm stops completely. Then he looks at his disciples and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What do you think Jesus is feeling in this moment? Yeah.
Well, maybe just like a hint of just a little anxiety.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because they were frantic. They were, like, in it, I don't know how much time, but in kind of moments, all of a sudden, they don't trust him. They're terrified. They're mad. They're anxious, alone, frantic. They're starting to doubt all those things. Yeah. Yeah.
He could also be disappointed.
Disappointed. Yeah. I think that that's a great word. You know what I kind of think of? It's like when your parents are like, they say like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed. Oh, it's the worst. Right? So Jesus doesn't get mad at them like you fools, get off the boat. He's like, why are you so afraid? Like, he's disappointed. That probably is even worse than anything. Any other like feelings you would add that Jesus might be feeling too right now? All right. What?
Groggy.
Yeah, he's when Trevor wakes up, he's very groggy. Sophie's like, Trevor. Okay, 41. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. What? So now the disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Okay, so this is like the biggest roller coaster, emotional roller coaster of like ever. The disciples first, they're terrified. We're going to die. Where is Jesus? Don't you care? What is happening? Jesus gets up. Quiet, be still. Storm goes away. They feel peace. And then all of a sudden, they feel fear and terror about Jesus. All of a sudden, they're like, who is this? This Jesus just controlled the weather and the waves and the water by his just saying three words, quiet, be still. Isn't that amazing that they could feel so much fear and then peace, and then all of a sudden that fear really be displaced onto Jesus? All right. So I'm going to give you guys a few takeaways. That's kind of the end of storytelling time. But before I kind of go into my takeaways, I want to hear from you guys. Like, what are, as you've heard the story, what are things that pop out of you? What sticks out to you? What do you feel like, oh, wow. Like, anything stick out to you? Yeah.
That Judas might have been hyperventilating the whole time.
Yeah. That you could imagine... Yeah, the hyperventilating of a disciple, of the fear of that's going on. Yeah, Tay. Don't doubt God. Because you just saw him, like, totally do it. Yeah. What else? What's up? Yeah.
To have faith that whatever situation you're in, God will make it right. Yeah,
yeah. I like that. He'll make it right. To have faith. Yeah, what else? Yeah.
Don't be anxious because God always is there.
Hmm. Yeah. Even when you're like, he's sleeping. What the heck? Yeah. Yeah. Did any like part of the story surprise you? What's something that maybe you've heard this story before, but did anything surprise you? Like, what popped out? Yeah.
That Jesus stayed asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Aaron.
That the disciples were not only not trusting them, but they were a little afraid of him after.
Yeah. That surprised me too. When I was reading that, I really saw the way that all of a sudden the disciples were really a fear, like they felt fear because they all of a sudden saw how powerful Jesus really is. Yeah, I love it. Any last things? Okay, so I want us to go back to these emotions. Now I want us to put ourselves into the story a little bit more. So these emotions that these disciples may have been feeling, fear of unknown, fear of the storm, fear of dying, untrustworthy, terrified, mad, confused, anxious, alone, frantic, betrayed, doubtful. Have you ever felt those feelings before?
Especially yeah. The confused part when I first learned about division.
Yeah, confused. There you go. So I think that what I realized as I was actually really unpacking this and seeing what the disciples felt, I have totally felt these things during hard times, and that question of, do you even care, God, has been actually something that I felt a lot. So like, I think about, and I want you guys to kind of see, have you ever had a time where you actually questioned, like, God, do you even care? Are you even here? Yeah. Like, do you even care that that this is so hurtful right now. Do you even see me? Like, are you just sleeping underneath and you don't care about the fact that I feel like I'm going to die right now? And maybe you're not. You've never actually been in a boat where you thought that you were going to actually sink. But in other areas of your life, maybe your family, maybe with friends, maybe on your sports team. For me, I've recently been reflecting on the season that I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I played on this semi-pro soccer team in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was one of the hardest seasons of my life. Like, super hard. I went there, and I was so pumped to play. You know, you get recruited, you think you're a hot shot. And the first game, I was a sub, and the coach was very clear that I would probably get in. I didn't get in that game. The next game, I dressed out, but he just said, like, you might get in. The next game, I dressed out, he said, you're definitely not going to play. After that, I never dressed out again. I only dressed out for 3 games. I didn't travel with the team. Basically, I was treated like I wasn't a part of the team because to him, I wasn't good enough. And through that, I worked my butt off every practice and ended up developing like a major chronic foot problem called plantar fasciitis that I still have today because I pushed through it trying to prove myself to this coach. I felt really alone. And what I was asking God was, why did I come all the way to the South? Why did I go across the country to sit on the bench? Like, why did I come all the way here? Do you even care, God? Like, why did you just pluck me out of my life and put me here? I could have done so many other things this summer. And I questioned God a lot. I questioned his purpose for my life. I questioned everything. And recently, so a couple weeks ago, I was in Charlotte for my friend's wedding. I was in her wedding. And I was reflecting on how hard that season was and how much I questioned God. And I realized now I'm able to look back and I still don't know why exactly God had me there. But I know all these good things that came out of it. That I literally had met one of the best friends I will ever have. I was in her wedding. I moved back here because of that season, really. Because if it wasn't for that, I probably would have tried to play soccer professionally or do something. I probably would have kept trying to pursue soccer. But because I got hurt, it caused me to realize